I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Start reading in verse number 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is this not the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doeth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he'll spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sins shall be, and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Let's bow our heads and ask God to help us here today as we try to bring you a message, and pray that God will speak to our hearts and help us do what we need to do today. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have to bow and pray. Lord, surely it's been good already to be in the house of God. We've heard the singing, the songs, the praying, the testimony, the goodness of the Lord. And Father, in Sunday school, it's been good. We thank you and praise you. And thank you for the sweet spirit that has prevailed in the service. And now, Lord, comes time for preaching of the Word of God. I pray for that divine touch. I ask you in Jesus' name that you'd illuminate our minds and loose our tongues. I pray today the power of God be upon us, that anointing, that fresh oil. And Father, that you'd use us to preach and help us share the Word of God with truth, and that we may do it with plainness of speech. And I pray the power of God would take it and speak to hearts and deal with lives and have your way. You know what we need here this morning. We come in Jesus' name, and we come praying in his name and for his glory. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I pray right now that you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil, and all that would work against the preaching of the Word of God. We need you to help us, and we thank you for what you do. And plead Jesus, in his name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. In preaching today, I at least want to begin on this, and you've heard me mention this many times in different ways, but today, not particularly the way that I may do this today, but we're talking about sinning against the Holy Spirit. And let me say this in the very outset of the message. I'm not an authority on that scripture I just read. I'm a student of it, and I think God has given us some insight that we might get some things that people have a lot of misunderstanding about nailed down tight, so that we will not have false doctrine but be sound in doctrine. But let me say this. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." There's not but one God. And when we sin against the Holy Spirit, we sin against God. When we sin against Jesus, we sin against God. And so when I talk about sinning against the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about another God. I'm just talking about sinning in a way that the Bible lays out in his word, says something to us about that. And so we'll deal with that. It's got to help us to do so here this morning. Let me remind you of something that happened to me one night coming back in from revival meeting. I'd been preaching and was tired and trying to get home and had the radio on. This man came on and he was preaching and he said something about some people that are so dumb that they didn't know the difference in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Now let me say this real quickly. I realize sometimes the word Holy Spirit is used and sometimes the word Holy Ghost is used and sometimes they're used in a particular way. And some folk have picked up on that and said that's always the way it is. But my study of the Word of God, I found sometimes it talks about the Holy Spirit and the new birth. And sometimes it talks about the Holy Ghost and the new birth. And I don't know how I found out I was one of those dumb ones. And as longer he preached, the more I turned the radio up. Great day. And I guess preaching on what I'm going to preach on like riding a bull. Amen. But anyway, I turned it up and he kept telling me how dumb I was. I finally said, well, I admit that I'm dumb. Now tell me what the answer is. And of course, he's on the radio. And when he went off the air, he was still telling me that, but he never had told me what the difference was. And the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is... They're just a trinity. They're not a quartet of them. They're just a trinity. And there's one God, but he manifested Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whatever you may call it. It's like Jesus. He's called Jesus the Savior. That's the saving name. The Christ, the Anointed One. He's called the I Am. He's called the Good Shepherd. He's called the Door, the Way, the Light, the Truth. Amen. And so, but every one of them is Jesus. Amen. You can't separate and say, well, it's Jesus who's here. And it's all Jesus. And here we're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. So we got that settled. That's a good point to get settled to start with. And we're on the right road, I believe now, at least understanding that we're talking about the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so when you hear the word Holy Ghost, some people have shied away from that. Because it identifies maybe with charismatic or some other group that doesn't believe sound doctrine and all that. But let me say this to you. Baptist folk were shouting glory, hallelujah, and talking about the work of the Holy Ghost a long time before the charismatics ever showed up, ever got on the scene. Amen. So I just thought I'd plug that and then for so we know what we're talking about. And we're not some far out group somewhere that... talking about something where you're going to stand on your head and gargle peanut butter. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Ghost working, and our lives connected with that and sinning against Him. But I do want, in way of introduction, and sometimes my introductions get carried away by me this morning, but I like the introduction to this message because I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit does, at least some of the things. I couldn't exhaust that today. An introduction, but let me give you a few things he does. Number one, he convicts. Amen. In John chapter 16, and you'll find that Jesus began talking there in John 16, verse 7 and 8. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He said he will convict. He will draw. He will. John 6:44 says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now, I am a firm believer in the work of the Holy Ghost in convicting a heart and bringing a person to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a 1, 2, 3, now you repeat after me. It's a work of the Holy Ghost of God in the heart that brings real conviction, shows a man that he's lost. Fact is, a man never sees himself like he ought to see himself until the Holy Ghost does a work in his heart and brings conviction and shows him what he really is. We all want to see ourselves as pretty good. And unsaved people want to see themselves as pretty good. I've had them tell me, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a good husband. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good this, good that, and good the other. But God says all of our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. But when he, the Holy Spirit, begins to work in our hearts and bring conviction, takes the word of God and begins to bring conviction and draw us, and first thing he does is show us what we really are. and shows us our sin. You remember that woman at the well when Jesus came by and he began to talk with her and things going along there and they were talking. But he began to touch on her sin problem is when she really began to understand who he really was. And that's what God does. He touches on our sin problem and shows us where we are and what we are. And Brother Mark sang that song. We were nobody going nowhere. We were without God. We were lost and undone, hell bound, and had no hope and couldn't help ourselves. And you can't turn over a new leaf and get saved. You can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can't make yourself get saved. Now, God has to move on the scene, but thank God that God does say, whosoever will, let him come. And thank God made the door open now for everybody. In Sunday school, I was talking about Calvinism some and trying to answer some questions there, but I'm telling you that God did not predestine some for heaven and some to hell. He did not do that, and he didn't die just for the elect. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I believe he tasted death for every man and made it possible for every man to be saved, every woman, every boy, girl that would come and trust Jesus Christ, repent and believe and be saved, could be saved. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. Now, God in his foreknowledge knew everything. He knows everything. Fact is, we talk about the foreknowledge of God simply because we can't comprehend it any other way. But ever is an eternal present with God. There is no past, there is no future. It's just an eternal present. And hallelujah, that gets in a realm that we can't even think about and blows my mind. But I say hallelujah, one day I'm going to step into that realm. Praise God. And when I step into that realm, then I'll be that eternal day with God. And we'll understand it better by and by. But right now, let it be said this, that the Holy Spirit has to do a work of convicting and draw you. Have you ever really been convicted and drawn to Jesus? Or did you just come because somebody talked you into it? Or somebody got you in a crowd and you got... I'm always leery of working with children because I realize you can take a group of children and you can tell them they're going to hell, and you can tell them all about that, and you can get one to come, you can get a bunch to come, and you have to be careful, make sure that God's doing something in their heart. I'm not against child evangelism. I'm not against getting people saved. I'm not against teaching them the truth. I'm not against getting children right with God. If they reach the age of accountability, they realize they're lost and without God, thank God they're a whosoever, and they can be saved. I praise God for that. Not just children, adults the same way. You get adults sometimes, somebody else can talk them into saying they need to go, need to do this, do that. And that's all right to try to help people. We need to talk to people. We need to help people. I'm not saying we never do. I'm just simply saying this. If the Holy Ghost is not doing the work in that heart and showing them, they'll never really get saved. You can have them do step one, step two, step three, and they'll still be lost, and there'll be no change in their heart. There'll be no real salvation in their life until they really get convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and God shows them that. You say, preacher, you preach that all the time, and I say again, may God forgive me if I don't preach it. You need to hear it. People need to hear it. People need to be saved. People need to be born in the family of God and get saved. Amen. And so he not only convicts, but he also regenerates. Amen. I'm glad that he regenerates. In John chapter 3, and Jesus, you remember the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse number 7, I believe there, he said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, all Nicodemus understood was a physical birth, and Jesus talking about a spiritual birth. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And then he began to use the wind, said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, and cannot tell whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. So is everybody that is born to the Spirit. I say hallelujah. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. He's saying it's the Holy Spirit of God that does a regeneration work in the heart of a man woman, boy, or girl, and you can't explain that. You can't put it down in step one, two, three. You can't dissect that and say, here's exactly how it works. Here exactly. We know we got to repent. We know Holy Spirit has to convict. We know we must repent. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us and take a step of faith and believe that. We know that. But the work that's done on the inside, it's like the wind blowing. I never have seen the wind. I felt the wind. I've never bottled up any wind. I've never caught the wind. I can't see the wind, but I sure been outside when the wind was blowing. What few hairs I got on my head, and they stand straight up. Amen. I knew the wind was blowing. I've seen the leaves fall. I've been out there and felt the results of the wind. I want you to know the day I got saved, hallelujah, I did not see he, the Holy Ghost. I did not touch he, the Holy Ghost. But I know one thing, he came on the inside of me, and there's something happened to me, and I can't tell you whence it come and where it go. But I know something changed on the inside. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. And thank God, I'm not saved by feelings, but I want you to know one thing. When the burden of sin rolled off and that great burden I was under, I'm glad to know, thank God, it sure did feel good. Amen. Now, I don't always feel like I feel this morning and don't always feel as good as I feel sometimes, but I'm just as saved when I don't feel good as I am right now, because I believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me at Calvary. But it wasn't my work. It was his work on the inside that made the change. I'm just a candidate, that's all. I just said, here I am, and God did the work. Amen. Praise God. I couldn't do it. I tried to do it. I tried to get better. I wanted to be better. I tried to make myself be saved and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to know that Sunday morning when God, the Holy Ghost, got a hold of me, and he'd been working on me for some time, but I kept thinking about, I made a profession. I'd been under the water. I joined the church. I did this. I did that. And I didn't steal from anybody, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do the other. And I must be. I used to sit around and look at other people in church and say, if they're saved, I guess I'm saved. I'm doing the same thing they're doing. I'm going the same places they go, and I talk like they talk, and I guess I'm okay. And I try to convince myself of that. But then when I get by myself, there was something on the inside, kept working on me, kept saying, you're not saved. How you know you're saved? I try to justify myself with this, that, and the other. But always God would bring me back to some scripture somewhere, as you must be born again. That Sunday morning I was in a church, and the man preached on you must be born again. And God, the Holy Ghost, just said, I told you. I've been trying to tell you, and you must be born again. And joining the church didn't do it. And doing good didn't do it. Marrying the preacher's daughter didn't do it. And all the rest of it didn't do it. But I'm the Holy Ghost just convicted me. And you know what I did? I quit looking at everybody else in the church. I really wasn't worried about everybody else in the church. I was concerned about me. God had me backed up in the corner. It was me that he was dealing with. It was me that he was saying, you need to get saved and born in the family of God. And that Sunday morning I got saved. Hallelujah. I think I told you Wednesday night about my salvation. I might tell you a million times more, but and I said I won't tell that all in one service, but I like to keep telling him. Why do you like to keep telling him? Because the best thing that ever happened to me, amen, is the day I got saved and born in the family of God. And I was ashamed to walk down the aisle. I was ashamed to admit I was lost. But that Sunday morning, it didn't make any difference who was there. It didn't make any difference what anybody thought about it. It didn't make any difference about all that. I wanted to know, I say. God, the Holy Ghost, had worked on my heart and worked on me until I realized I was lost. And my goodness wasn't going to help me. I didn't have any goodness. And I needed Jesus. And it's a blessed day when you find out that you just knowing something about him, and when you really come to know him, there's a blessed difference takes place. And I knew a lot about him, but oh, that day I come to know him. And he came into my heart through the Holy Spirit of God and birthed me in the family of God. Brother Chris, thank God. It's been different ever since. Hallelujah. Haven't always been everything I ought to be, but I'm telling you one thing, I never have been what I was. I was lost. I was without God. I was sinking without Him. I got about to get hung up in this introduction, but I'm glad, thank God, the Holy Ghost did the convicting. He did the regenerating, amen. Praise His holy name. He did all of that. And let me say something else. He indwelt me, and I've already touched on that, so I won't spend a lot of time there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it talks about what? Know you not you're the temple of the Holy Ghost of God? And you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God. He says He indwells a believer, and He lives on the inside. We are the house that He lives in. I'm glad, praise God, that there's a power on the inside, and He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And so victory's in Him, amen. And praise God. Somebody said, I can't live for the Lord. You're absolutely right. You can't. I can't either, but I'm glad I got one on the inside living in me that can live for the Lord. Amen. I got some help. I got some power on the inside. I praise God and thank God for that. He's the comforter. In the verse I read or quoted to you out of John 16, verse 7, he said, nevertheless, if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him. I know Jesus got there because the Holy Ghost got here. Amen. And thank God the comforter did come. He is our comforter, and I'm thankful that He is. I praise His holy name that He is a comforter. He convicted, He regenerated, He indwells. He's a comforter. I am thankful for all that He is. Hallelujah. He's all that, but He's a teacher too. I want you to look with me in John 16. John 16 and verse number, well, let's look at verse number 13. And just continuation of that verses that I was quoting out of verse 7 of John 16. But listen to what it says in verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Ghost speaks of Jesus Christ. He said He'll take a mind, show it done to you. He always exalts Jesus. And people talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, a good way to tell somebody's filled with the Spirit of God, they want to talk about Jesus. They'll tell you about Jesus. It's Jesus, hallelujah. And they'll do that. Praise God for Jesus, amen. But let me say something else about the Holy Ghost of God. He's the power that works inside. And fact is, everything we do without the power of the Holy Ghost is vain anyway. Amen. I want you to listen to Acts 1 and 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and other most parts of the earth. And so He said, you're going to receive power. And talking about the day of Pentecost when there the power came, but now Holy Spirit moves in when we get saved, and so that power is there. Now, somebody mentioned to me something the other night as we walked out of church Wednesday night, I believe it was, got me thinking on this. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. It says this, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. I got to think about that when using something about it drunk and identifying it with being filled with the Spirit. Well, when somebody's drunk, they're under a power that's not inherent in themselves. And they'll do things they wouldn't do otherwise. Somebody filled up with liquor, they'll sing, or they'll liable to get up in the middle of the floor and do stupid things that they wouldn't do otherwise. And they liable to pay for everybody. They may be broke when they go home, but they don't care. They're under a power that's not inherent in themselves. That's the way a person is that's saved and when filled with the Holy Ghost. And by the way, we're afraid of that preaching too, but let me preach a little bit just right now for a minute. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You say, preacher, that doctrine is for somebody. No, that doctrine is for us Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist people. Amen. He didn't say for the preachers to be filled. He didn't say for the Sunday school teachers to be filled. He said, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Every saved person ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I have a bottle of water sitting up here. I used to have a cup. Used to have a big cup. Then it got to be a little cup. Now it's a little bottle. Brother Marvin, if it gets any smaller, we'll have it in a teacup. And a thimble. I'm kidding with you. I told him it's fine, put it in this. I won't spill it as bad. But anyway, if this bottle, if it was crammed full of dirt and rock and really just all in there and had all kinds of garbage in it and stuff and just had a little bit up here and you put water in it, could you say it's filled with water? It wouldn't be filled with water. It'd be filled with something and then some water with it. But being filled with the Holy Ghost is not you getting all of Him. It's Him getting all of you. He came in all of Him when you got saved. But whether you let Him have all of you is the question, and whether I let Him have all of me. And so if that bottle is not empty when they put water in there, it'll not be filled with water. It'll be filled with whatever else is in there. But I don't see anything else in there but water. And so when it's filled with water. And if we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, we must empty out of self, empty out of the dirt and filth and the rock and all the stuff that comes in our lives. Amen. If we are to be filled, you say, preacher, I don't know about that being filled. The problem is we're afraid of it. We're afraid to be. You know why we're afraid to be filled with the Spirit of God? We're afraid the Spirit of God calls to do something we don't want to do. We're afraid he'll ask us to do something that we really don't want to do. And so we shy away from that because he may even have you run across the front of the building. And that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? But let me say it's not embarrassing. When God the Holy Ghost is in, if you want to shout, you can shout. If you want to praise God, you can raise your hand. If you want to say amen, you can say amen. And I remember little old Bobby Brindle during Jubilee running across here in that little scooter. And he couldn't walk, but he's waving his hand and running that scooter. And I said, whoopee. I've seen people run before in church. I'd seen them raise their hand, shout, and praise God. I'd never seen anybody ride a scooter and shout at the same time. All I knew to do was get out of the way and let him have it. Amen. But I'm telling you, why are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just shouting, praising God. That's part of it. And God may, you know, sometimes I think we sit in service and getting good service, and God nudges your heart and you want to holler, amen, and nobody else saying anything, you kind of shy away from it. And you really like to stand up and say, praise God, God's good, but you kind of shy away from it because you're a little shy about it. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, it don't make any difference what anybody's saying, grunting, or even make some noise. Amen. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and want to say amen, you'll say amen. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and want to do something. But the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide your life. There'll be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be witnesses unto Him. Amen. And you'll meet somebody, and it'll be a natural thing to tell them about Jesus and begin to talk about eternal things as it is to breathe, because you're filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God, being controlled by the Spirit of God. When you're controlled by the Spirit of God, I wasn't preaching that message, but somehow I got on it. I know I'm supposed to be preaching about sinning against the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to get there. Maybe the night by the time I get there, but I'm going to get there if God be my helper. But I'm trying to tell you this morning, friend, the Holy Ghost does a work in our hearts, and if we're not letting Him have His way in our hearts, we will be sinning against Him, and we will be in trouble, and we will not be glorifying God, and we will not be pleasing God, and we will not be reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ if we are not filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And being filled is emptying out of self. And we don't like to empty out of self because self keeps poking up its head. And the flesh keeps getting in the way. And we keep having to struggle with and deal with. But let me say today, God help us to be filled with the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. As a fruit of the Spirit, we need that fruit of the Spirit that we might do what God have us to do. I want to touch on my text I read, and that's about all I can do here this morning. But let me touch on Jesus had done a great miracle. And then they, verse 26, Jesus, they'd accused him of casting him out in verse 24 by Beelzebub, prince of the devils. Verse 26, Jesus told him that Satan, cast out Satan and divide against himself. How can he stand? But notice verse number 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then is the kingdom of God come unto you. He said, now, if I'm casting out by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom has come to you. And so he's simply saying, I'm doing it by the Spirit and the power of God. He operated in that power. You and I need to operate in the same power. Did you know, and this ought to cause every one of us that's saved to have a some kind of a fit on the inside anyway, that you and I have the same access to the same power that Jesus had. Amen. I'm not saying that I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have the same access to the same power that he did. He exercised power of the Holy Spirit of God. He was totally controlled by and exercised that power. You and I that are saved, we have the same Holy Spirit living in us that he used to cast out devils. I believe the same power can help us, that we can witness to Christ Jesus, and the power of God can work, cast out devils, and we can see people get saved, born in the family of God. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Hey, we don't like to talk about it. You remember that woman that came to Jesus in Matthew 15? And she came behind for her daughter, said she's grieving and she's vexed with the devil. Our problem is we don't like to admit our family, our unsaved people, people around us, are demon-possessed, they're devil-possessed. They're controlled by the devil. That's what the Bible says, amen. That woman didn't say, well, she's a pretty good person, she just needs to get saved. She says she's possessed with the devil. She's controlled by, and the only power that can take that away is the power of the Holy Ghost of God. If I'm witnessing the unsaved person, I have no power of my own to overcome that evil power that's in that person. But I have one in me, thank God, that has the power to do it. If I operate in the power of him, let him guide me in my thinking, help me to witness, help me to tell him about Jesus. I have the power, same power, that was available to the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll dawn on you in the morning about 3:00 and you'll jump out of bed and say, whoopee, hallelujah. I believe I will tell somebody about Jesus today. And you see, we shy away, we get scared, we get pushed aside because we're afraid, because we're not filled with the Spirit of God. But now back to my text. I have a hard time sticking with this text. But look at verse number 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now let me say just two or three things real quickly, and I'm trying to hurry here. The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not profanity. Now I've heard people cuss, and I've heard them use God's name, Jesus' name. I've heard them use all kinds of names, Christ's name, Lord's name, in vain. That's cursing. I've never heard anybody use Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, but I'm not saying that's what this sin we're talking about is. I'm just simply, I've never heard that. I believe the reason why we've never heard that is because back there somewhere, our forefathers, they read in the Bible where it said they'd never be forgiven, so they're afraid to. They're afraid to. Why do you think that is? I believe they were afraid to do it. Now, I'm not saying that is a sin I'm talking about today. I'm dealing with this because of so many questions that ask about it, but that's not where I really want to get to. I'm going to go further in the Bible with sinning against the Holy Spirit, but here we're talking about sinning against the Holy Ghost, blaspheming the Holy Ghost, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Now, in context, I want you to know what they were doing. They was accusing Jesus of doing what he was doing by the power of Beelzebub, or by the power of the devil, when it was the power of the Holy Ghost. That's context. That's context of where it was. And so Jesus warned them about blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. It shall never be forgiven in this world, neither in the world to come. Now verse 32 says, neither in the world to come. I believe he gives us a key to understanding what he's really saying here. And let me say this about sin against the Holy Ghost. It's not rejecting Christ. Now, that is a sin up to a point against the Holy Ghost. I understand that. But it's not blaspheming the Holy Ghost. If it was the first time you got convicted and you never got saved, you never could get saved because you'd be blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So that's not what it is. And some people say it's suicide. It's not suicide either. And let me say this real quickly. I'm not advocating suicide by no means, but I want you to know that a person that's really born again, been saved by the grace of God, their mind may get sick just like your liver can get sick and do things they wouldn't do otherwise. Amen? And let me ask you a question, by the way, while I'm on this. If God's laid on your heart to stop and talk to this person about Jesus, and the Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And he laid it definitely on your heart to stop right then, right there at that person's house, and you didn't do it. You went on by and you quenched the spirit and didn't obey him and did not do what he said, but you went on by, then had a car wreck and died, or had a heart attack and died. Would you be lost because of that?
We got this thing all messed up, what sends people to hell. And how come they go to hell? But what I'm trying to tell you is, here he's talking about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Well, preacher, what is? Let me say this. There is no forgiveness in another world. There's no purgatory. There is no purgatory. Ain't no place you can pray them out of. A person that's lost without God goes to hell. That rich man in hell lifted up his eyes being in torment. He didn't say, go back there and get my brothers to get right with God and get somebody and pay somebody to pray me out of here. He didn't ask that at all. He said, I don't want my brothers to come here, but he didn't ever ask to get out of there. He couldn't get out, and there was no way out. So there's no forgiveness of sin after this life. So what's he talking about here? Context of Scripture is Jesus casting out devils, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And they said he's doing it by the power of the devil. And Jesus said that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Well, what world to come could that ever happen in? The millennium. The millennium when Jesus' kingdom is on. Jesus was on earth at this time. And during the millennium, he's going to be on earth. There's going to be people live in the millennium in bodies like we have. Saved, born again, glorified people can't sin against the Holy Ghost. And so it won't be us. But I believe in that day, it'll be possible for somebody to accuse Jesus of casting out devils by the power of the devil, and they would blaspheme the Holy Ghost. What I'm saying is, you and I today, somebody said, preacher, I'm afraid I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Well, if it were possible for you to do that today, you wouldn't be concerned about it. You wouldn't even have an inkling about it anyhow. It wouldn't bother you one bit if that was even possible. It's not possible, but if it was, you couldn't even have an inkling of guilt about it. So people that ever ask you, I believe I sinned against the Holy Ghost, just tell them, no, no. You wouldn't be asking the question if you had. Amen. You need to get saved and born in the family. Lead them to Christ, they might be saved. You said, preacher, you sure are preaching a different message today. Well, I just had it on my heart. Amen. I'm talking about sinning against the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Ghost is a real third person of the Godhead. And he does a conviction. He does a regeneration. He does a comforting. He does indwelling. He's our power. He's our help. He produces the fruit. He does all of that. And that blaspheming the Holy Ghost, though, they talk about here. He's talking about when Jesus was on earth and Jesus was accused of casting demons out by the power of the devil and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And there's no hope for them. When in the world to come would that be? The millennium. God teaches no other time. God in his word has no other time that people could do this sin except during the millennium when Jesus is on earth, because it is against the Holy Ghost of God. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Heads bow, eyes closed, people thinking. Let me say this to you. The Holy Spirit does convict and draw. And when you resist him, you're resisting the Holy Ghost of God and saying no to him. I'm glad God forgives and God helps. But don't keep on keeping on like that, because you may cross God's deadline. And God says that's enough. But right now God's speaking to your heart and God's dealing with your life. You need to get right with God. See, you can say what you want to, but if you don't let God help you, you have no help. God's the only one. The devil's not going to cast out anything out of you that's wrong, because he'd be working against himself. Only God can help you. Some of you may here be hung up on drinking liquor, maybe hung up on taking drugs, maybe hung up on sexual sins, maybe hung up on things that of this world that I may never mention, but God, the Holy Ghost, pointed them out to you in your life. It may be that you're unsaved and you need Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Maybe the day that you've been saved, but you allowed things to come in and Holy Spirit can't fill you because you got other things that are working against that. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit of God would so work in hearts today, they would come. We'll thank you. I pray you'd help all of us be honest and face the truth and take the word of God for what you said. And help us, Lord, today to realize He, the Holy Ghost, does a work. He's working here this morning in hearts and lives. These folk in that day, they accused Jesus. But Father, help us today to realize there's a blessed opportunity we have to come to Christ. Then we that are saved have the blessed opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God so we can be witnesses for Christ. Thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.